Ladies, gentlemen, potential jurors who pretend like their notice was lost in the mail. Welcome to episode 10 of the Split Screen Podcast, official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and I am a caffeine addict, as well as your host for this show. Now, today's episode is all about how Aishwarya Rai Bachchan remade a South Korean thriller. But first, I'm excited, because I got my first iTunes review to read for you guys. Now, this comes straight from the heart of K-Phil, acquaintance, friend, in air quotes, and co-host of one of the awesomest Bollywood movie review podcasts out there, Filmy Talks, formerly WTF Bollywood. So here's her review of my show, this show, the Split Screen Podcast. A1, 5 stars, amazing. I don't even listen to podcasts, but I'm positive this one is great. I have my own podcast, and this one is just so much better, based on the 0 episodes I have listened to. My only complaint is the lack of me that has been invited to be on it, and the excess of Nippon and Baloch that have been on it, I assume. Otherwise, this podcast is perfect. Guys, I'm gonna need a second. That was a little too heartfelt than I was prepared for. I want to thank K-Phil for those kind words. Everybody else, please head to your iTunes and review the show as well. And again, if it's as good as this one, I will definitely read it on the air. It's just a good way for other people to find the show. So without further ado, I'm still going to need a minute to process that review. So just play the thing. Just go ahead. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the pre-recorded internet broadcast program known formally on the record as the Split Screen Podcast. All rise for the esteemed host and moderator of these proceedings, the Honorable Shah Shahid. On the docket today, we have South Korean film 7 Days v. the Indian film Jazba. The charge for one of these films is being guilty of gross inferiority. Across the aisle, we have full-time white woman, professional film critic, and a key eyewitness to this tragic train wreck, Miss Kathy Gibson of AccessBollywood.com. Miss Gibson, you may proceed with your opening statements.
I can't because I am now...
Who was that? What just happened?
Shah, where are we?
Yes.
We feel like we're in a courtroom.
It's strange that you say that, Kathy, because the movies we're doing today are courtroom dramas.
Aha.
Kind of. So everyone knows Kathy. You've been on the show multiple times. You're essentially an honorary co-host, really, of Split Screen. How have you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, I've been good. I've been being a professional white woman the whole time. It's working out okay for me.
It's hard work, you gotta say. And full credit to you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, so the movies we're doing today, something that by the time this show comes out won't be current anymore, but something we just watched came out a week ago so far at the time of this recording. Essentially, the Bollywood movie Jazba is really what prompted us to do this, right?
Yeah.
So Jazba is a Bollywood movie that just came out. It is based on a South Korean film, as that dude earlier talked about. So we're going to be discussing both the movies, and we're going to get right into it. 7 Days, very cool South Korean film. It's a crime thriller. Kathy, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of the movie?
The quick synopsis is that a prominent defense attorney is blackmailed into defending somebody who's going to trial for rape and murder, which is a death penalty offense. By having her daughter is kidnapped, and this is what forces her to defend this guy who's a real creep. It's a really good setup for a movie. It translates really easy. I totally understand why it was remade, because you know that's a great easy setup. And so it proceeds that her daughter is kidnapped, and she has a period of 7 days in which to free this guy. This is when the trial takes place, and the kidnappers demand that, you know, her daughter will be hopefully kept alive as long as she's able to get this guy out of his death sentence and get him freed from jail.
Yeah, and it's and no, and you're completely right. It's a great hook right off the bat. It's and the movie. I mean, speaking of the South Korean film first, that movie wastes no time kind of getting us right there. I think it's like a good, what, I think 10, 12 minutes before we get to this premise where the girl gets kidnapped, essentially.
Yeah, it's a really quick hitter. You get a lot of information in those first 10 to 15 minutes of 7 Days. 7 Days stars Yujin Kim, who played Sun
Son.
on Lost, and I'll probably keep accidentally referring to her as Sun from Lost
I've
because
been
that's
calling
how
her
they
son the whole time.
yeah. So she's the defense attorney. She's like Korea's best defense attorney. She's responsible for freeing all these real lowlives. And we see her, right off the bat, she gets this guy who's this big gangster freed, and he tells her, that I never forget a favor. And she's like, listen, I'm just doing my job. Don't worry about it. And she comes home, and she's the single mother of an 8-year-old girl. And you get this great scene. It's the two of them. She's taking a bath. It's kind of funny, actually, because she's taking a bath, and you see these bubbles rise, and you are supposed to assume that she's in the bathtub by herself and she just passed gas. But no, her daughter is in the tub with her, and she emerges, and it's her daughter playing with some improvised snorkel and wearing goggles in the bathtub. And it's this really sweet moment of these two. This daughter is everything to her. They love each other. And so you get that connection. It's really great. And it's while they're at the girls' sports day event, they're doing the mother-daughter relay race that they win, and when she turns around to celebrate, she calls her daughter's name and her daughter's not there. She doesn't respond.
Before we discuss any further, what did you rate this movie? 7 Days. I mean, if you had to pick a rating out of five.
If I had to pick, I would say it was probably, I'd give it a 3.5. I mean, I think it was pretty successful. I think the writing is really good. I think it's a good premise. I think it's pretty well executed. Not great, but enjoyable and really accessible.
It's fun, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's not supposed to be fun. It's a horrible
Right.
story, but I mean, it's enjoyable to watch. Like, it's entertaining. It keeps you kind of riveted. I actually would give it a three as well, a hard three. I try not to do halves because I'm very indecisive and I'll just messes me up completely. So I deal with absolute numbers and math fucks me up too. So I actually would give it a three, like a solid three. The one thing I didn't like about the movie that kind of prevents it from being a four, I wasn't a fan of the shaky camera stuff.
Yes. Oh, that drove me crazy. There's very quickly in the film too, after the girl is kidnapped, there's this chase scene, and she's trying to elude the cops while, she's taking directions on the phone from the kidnapper who's telling her to drive and ditch the cops who are tailing her. And the shaky camera just like it interrupts that. I think there's like a fight sequence or something later, and it's just you can't make sense of what's happening. That's my biggest complaint about the movie. I think some of the direction sometimes the camera work gets in the way.
Now, the thing is, though, when I saw these parts, everything clicked into why this was made into a Bollywood movie.
Yeah.
Because you see that shit and you're like, oh my god, they eat this shit up. Like, this for them is like artistic camera work. Is there anything else that you didn't like about this movie in terms of how it played out?
I thought it was pretty good. I guess we should explain further too the details of the kidnapping that the way this ends up playing out is that the whole rest of the movie after that quick setup is her finding out and reinvestigating this crime. I guess my one complaint for both movies was that I didn't have a really good sense of of the timeline. When did the crime that the guy was put in jail for take place? And how was the trial? Like, was this his initial like a equivalent of a grand jury hearing? Or I
Right.
wasn't sure, based on my lack of familiarity with the Korean court system and then the Indian court
Which
system.
didn't seem like there was much distinctions when you watch both movies. Like, you would think there'd be some legal modifications to translate from South Korean to the Indian, judicial system, but.
Yeah, you would hope so, but it ends up being that so this the guy who's on trial, CJ, I think it's his
In
name,
the in 7 days, yeah.
in 7 days, he's on trial for murdering an art student, like a college-aged art student. She's in her early 20s, raping her and murdering her. And so it's Ji Yeon, who is the lawyer, it's her job to kind of reinvestigate this crime to see, did he really do it? You know, and if he did, how can I get him out of this?
Essentially, her normal job would be to find out if this guy did it or not. Mm-hmm. Whereas she's in a position now where it doesn't matter if he did it. She needs to find a way to get him out regardless to free her daughter. And as a lawyer, like, I found 7 days at a better job of that moral struggle.
Well, because we see in that opening sequence with the gangster that she hands him some recording, which I believe is a piece of evidence.
Right.
Didn't, you know, so she's not above kind of,
no,
you know, playing with the rules a little bit if it'll help free her client. So she's used to this. Her moral compass is a little
skewed.
You know, there's a lot of moral gray areas in her character, which I really like. And the same thing with her best friend. Sung-yeol is a police detective who is currently suspended.
Best character of the entire... Oh, both movies, I think,
yeah,
actually.
He's suspended for having, I think, either taken a bribe or something like that. They're both willing to break the rules. And so that's the same thing. She uses those skills, not just the skills in the courtroom, but also her sort of moral flexibility to help find out what happened in reality with this girl. Like, was she really killed by CJ? And so it's really a reinvestigation of this whole crime. And so I think I like the way it plays out. I mean, it's, again, what makes it really, really accessible. It's just a good kind of procedural.
So we're going to quickly just try to talk about Jezebel without any spoilers, which is probably not going to be possible. But we'll try to keep it spoiler-free, and then we'll get into the details and start comparing both the movies. So, Kathy, what rating would you give Jezebel out of 5?
Or... I would give it about a 1.5, 1, if for the sake of your round numbers.
Yes, thank you. Decimals confuse me. But yeah, so I actually gave Jezebel a 2 as well. Close, you know, if you round off your 1.5. And again, the issue with Jezebel for me is, as much as I did like the movie, ultimately, the last half, which we'll discuss in spoilers, completely falls apart for me. And everything good I can say about Jezebel, I can't really credit to anyone involved in Jezebel, because it's really the story. It's really the story that really, it's fun. It's fun. It's, again, when I say fun, guys, I mean it's like enjoyable to watch. But I mean, it's engaging, right? So Jezebel is the exact same way in 7 days, I think. A lot of it, there wasn't much deviation from the original. I liked it. I enjoyed it. The last couple of scenes is really what made me give this a 2, where I felt everything kind of just fell apart. What do you think?
I would say that I think this movie lost me a lot earlier than it did you. And part of it is that I blame overall the direction for this and the... you know, because again, you can't blame the story, because the story is actually pretty good and it translates well. The Sanjay Gupta, the director, who specializes in remakes, decided, basically kept all the bad things about the original movie and then amplified them. So you've got all the shaky camera work, and then there's some color techniques.
Oh my God.
In 7 days, which are, I think, pretty effective. Very early on, you know, if it's dawn and there's a dangerous time, you know, it's dark blue colors. And
it's a dangerous time.
So,
guys, it's getting blue out. We got to get in.
Exactly. So, but it really sets the mood in 7 days. And it's not overused. It's, you know, things, the colors are more garish inside a dance club.
Right, yeah.
But in Jezebel, these filters are on the camera, like, all the time. So it could just be a regular daytime, you know, scene of nothing particularly important, but it'll all be all yellow or this sickly green. And it just, for no reason, it doesn't mean anything. It's just for the sake of having this color treatment. And when you have somebody as beautiful as Aishwarya Rai Bachchan, why are you trying to make her look like she has jaundice?
So let's put it into context. I feel like I have to defend Sanjay Gupta a little bit. I do like his work. As much as you're an Akshay Kumar apologist, I feel like I'm a Sanjay Gupta apologist. I like the guy. He's a cool guy. His movies, they might not be perfect, but they're always fun. They're always stylish. The filter color thing is something he does all the time. We did a show. We compared his Kante to Reservoir Dogs on a show previously with a friend of mine, and we discussed this as well. It's he has his films all have a certain look to them, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Excuse me, Jazba, same thing. It has a very distinct look. The filters and everything, again, I have no problem with. I mean, it makes a movie look good. Kante is where he kind of, I think, used it to the max. Everything was greens and blues and darkness. What I didn't like in Jazba, I felt like he had to go out of his way to light scenes a certain way just so he could get the color filter in. So, for example, the first scene of Irfan Khan in the movie, who's fucking amazing, the first scene of him is that he's getting interrogated in this large, I guess, office conference room kind of situation, which is completely dark. All the lights are turned off. The only light is coming in, a natural light coming in from the window, a clear glass window, but the light coming in is green.
Yeah.
Like, dark fucking green. And I'm sitting there going, I don't, and the thing is, that kind of thing I feel like is more of a product of, like, color saturation stuff in post-production, like, when it came to, like, the actual, you know, messing with the actual film, because that didn't seem like a filter, because everything else looked fine. Mm-hmm. You know, Irfan and all the other characters looked completely well, like, properly lit, real colors, but that light streaming into the clear window was green somehow. And the light wasn't green. When it hit them, it was green.
Well, and the thing with that particular scene, too, is their faces aren't ever, like, lit up as a whole. And you know, if you want to emphasize something, it's, you know, fairly common technique, you know, you just light their eyes, you know, the light from the window just happens to hit only on their eyes or their mouth while they're talking, the parts of your face that you use to communicate, except the light will be like hitting a guy on the side of the cheek and that's it. I'm like, why? I can't see his face while he's talking.
Oh, Kathy.
I'm not getting anything from his cheek.
Oh, Kathy, you're making a lot of assumptions that Bollywood knows which aspects of a face is used for expressive communication or emoting. I'll tell you what I liked about the movie. I'll tell you what I disliked about the movie because it's very simple. I'm not going to elaborate. What I liked, Irfan Khan. What I hated, Aishwarya Rai Bachchan. Moving on. Your turn.
I would... This was not my favorite Irfan performance.
Oh, come on.
It's also because there just wasn't a whole lot to work with. When you're being directed to be this over the top, and it just doesn't work, and I don't think there's any way for him to save it. I think he was probably doing what the director asked him to do, but what the director was asking him to do was stupid. I think part of the reason why Gupta tries to get away with it, too, is that there's this subtext in there. The moral message running through this, and it goes through 7 days as well, to be fair, is don't do drugs, because drugs will make you crazy. Like, God, if I, the drinking game to play with Jack Boss, how many, drink whenever someone says angel dust. That was cracking me up.
I like that they always preface that with the kids these days are calling it.
Yeah,
angel
yeah,
dust.
The kids these days back
it's,
in 1980,
it's not,
when
yeah,
I was
it's not on
high.
The street. It's not the street version. It's like the kids these days. And everyone refers it, prefaces that with the same way. The drug is called blah, 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 blah. Or as the kids call it.
I think some of it is like, well, gee, they're all on drugs. You know, the murderer in Jazba is a drug dealer, too. So it's like everybody's on drugs so they can all be crazy. And, like, I don't know. You can't use that as an excuse. They can't just all be nuts.
How would you say Jazba fared on its own without drawing any comparisons to 7 days? I know that's hard to do.
It's, I saw Jazba first.
Okay.
Because I deliberately didn't want to do that, and I hated it. So it's, I hated it. I felt much better about 7 days after I watched that.
Right. Yeah. I think the feelings sent mutual here as well. Because, I mean, the thing is, I like Jazba. But when I realized why I liked it, it's the story. Which
yeah.
has nothing to do with Jazba. Like, it's just a good adaptation. Spoiler warning, from here on in, we will be discussing specific plot details, plot points, including even the climax of both the movies 7 Days and Jazba. So be warned, if you haven't seen either of the movies, please skip to the end of the show to get our Twitter handles and other contact information. So, changes. Why don't you start?
Well, one of the changes that lost me, again, far earlier than you stuck with it longer than I could.
It was all Irfan Khan, baby. All Irfan Khan.
Was in 7 days, there are very few, you get flashbacks to the events of the art student's murder. You see that kind of go through, you see it a couple different, you know, proceed a couple different ways as the lawyer develops different theories, you know, how exactly was the girl killed,
right,
and that kind of stuff. For some reason, Gupta adds in these flashbacks to the art student and her mom, who's played by Shabana Azmi,
no,
who is into their, the details of their relationship.
Like a subplot
There's this subplot all about how the student was upset with her mother and blamed her mother for their for her parents' divorce, and who cares? It doesn't matter.
And the thing is, there's no payoff either, though. Like,
no,
there's nothing about their relationship that plays a factor in the end of the movie. And again, even if they kept that out, which 7 Days did, the motivations of the character, the mom, still made sense.
She's a mother who wants justice for her dead daughter. You know, it's what more do you need? I don't give a crap about what their relationship was like. It doesn't make any difference. I think any mother would do the same thing, where it's, I want to see the man who killed my daughter pay. And
right,
that's it. And you don't, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I had a fight with my mom, you know, when I was 18 about something. It doesn't change how she felt about me or the fact, you know, it's not going to be like, well, Kathy's dead. Good riddance. She was a real jerk that one time.
I should send that guy a gift basket in jail.
Yeah.
Shabana Azmi's character, the mom of the girl that gets killed, that the guy's on trial for, she's the one that actually orchestrates. She's the one that kidnaps the daughter. She's the one orchestrating the whole thing, blackmailing the lawyer to get the daughter out. To free the rapist so that she can invoke her own justice instead of allowing the courts to punish this guy who raped and killed her daughter.
Which is a great twist, by
which
the way.
Which is amazing. And again, like, in 7 Days, I kind of saw it coming, but it was still a little, it still gets you. Like, you're kind of going, it's definitely a possibility, but you don't see it coming as much. Whereas in 7 Days, where the casting of this character, I felt, kind of spoiled the thing a little bit, especially given how much prominence they were giving to Shabana Azmi. She got great monologues. She got great scenes where she could just talk for 10 minutes. The fact that it's Shabana Azmi clearly means she's got a huge hand to play at the end of this movie or throughout the movie, which to me spoils it. And the same with Jackie Shroff.
Yeah, Jackie Shroff plays the father of... He's a politician who is the father of this guy who is the... this kid who has gone crazy because of drugs.
The boyfriend of the girl that died.
The boyfriend of the art student. And so, yeah, so Jackie's in that, and then there's a similar character, I think, who's in the prosecutor's office in 7 Days.
Right.
Both are trying to protect their drug
Their son, yeah.
But yeah, it's, again, because of the casting, you're like, okay, well, this guy's important.
Exactly.
And so it's a real tell. So that's kind of disappointing that you're like, all right, get ready for the big twist, because it's going to involve these people. Oh, can I bring up one other thing? This was probably supposed to be Aishwarya's finest moment, and it is the worst moment in the film for her. It is that the midpoint of the movie, when she comes close to catching her daughter again. Her daughter has had some medical issue, and the kidnapper, kindly enough, says, well, if you bring these, bring her medicine here and drop it off, I'll pick it up. And during the exchange, she sees her daughter and runs after her, but can't catch her. And the guy gets away with the daughter. So Aishwarya flips out. She just, like, is screaming. She's on her knees. She's on the ground. She's pounding the ground. She's throwing dirt and just crying and all this. And this goes on for a couple minutes. I don't know about you where you saw this.
No, I saw it in theaters. And honestly, that was the funniest scene of the whole movie for me.
Here's what makes it even funnier, and I don't know how this is at the theater that you saw.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
At the major chain theaters in the U.S., where I saw, one of them, I saw it at a Regal theater, we don't have interval breaks.
Right.
So the movie plays, it says interval, and then it just starts.
Yeah.
The scene, the screaming, crying scene for 2 minutes plays.
Yes.
It says interval on the screen for about 10 seconds, and then the scene starts over again.
Yep.
We didn't even get a break. Why are you hurting us poor Americans?
In Aishwarya's defense, no one looks good crying.
Right.
I mean, there's very few people. Salman is heartbreaking when he cries. I will lose my shit anytime Salman balls his ass off. And just there's certain actors that when they cry, you're just like, oh man, Randeep Huda, That guy can cry like a fucking champ. Like, he cries in the most manliest way possible. But there's, I mean, generally, you're not supposed to look good when you're crying. So I give her that. But Sanjay Gupta, why did you have to do that in slow-mo? So in the climax, like I was saying, the drug addict son, in 7 days, when he's brought up, essentially, basically, the story is that when the girl got murdered and raped, he was there as well. So he's clearly another suspect for them to find out if he was the killer or not. In 7 days, the prosecutor, because it gets to a point where even the father trying to protect the son knows that, okay, this is going to come out, because he tries to kill the lawyer, the main character, son, mm-hmm. And fails. In both movies, Jackie Shroff tries to kill Ashwarya's character and fails. So he knows now that, shit, well, my kid's going to, this is going to come out now, so I might as well get ahead of it. So in 7 days, the prosecutor automatically dismisses anything the son has to say, because the son's a drug addict, he's fucked, his mind's all, you know, screwed up from the drugs. So they bring him on stand and say, hey, were you there when she got murdered? He goes, yeah. But then he's all crazy, and they prove that in court, so nothing he says can be admissible, mm-hmm. which makes sense. In Jazba, first of all, Jackie Shroff's son got hidden, right? He gave it to some bad guy and said, take him away.
Yeah.
So he's hiding the fact that he's a son, which, because no one can find that out, right? But he's still in the courtroom. So it's kind of like, wait, if you weren't expecting your son to be there, and you're trying to keep your son's name out of this altogether, why are you in the courtroom? Why are you sitting at the hearing of this case like a pedestrian?
Yeah.
And then when Ashwarya starts talking about Sam, in the court, she's like, well, Sam was there too, and Sam this, and the boyfriend Sam. No one, and again, I don't know if we didn't see that Sam got brought up in another context. No one goes, who the fuck is Sam? What are you yeah. talking about? Like, who is this Sam person you keep referring to? Like, I don't understand. And then she goes, because his father is a millionaire. And it's like, who the fuck is his father? Like, where is this reference coming from? That, to me, didn't make any sense whatsoever. And that's the parts where I'm like, he's just drawing these lines. And it's like, when they wrote it, they went, well, this is what happens in the original. And it's like, if I didn't watch the original, I wouldn't get what the fuck just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's assuming everybody knows exactly what you know, rather than telling them what they need to know. I will say the one thing at the very, at the close of the movie, which is after the big reveal of the twist, that I liked what Gupta did.
Okay.
So it's revealed, the lawyer figures out that the mother of the art student is the one who's behind all this. And at the same time, the cop friend in both movies is also figuring this out and is bringing all the other police to come arrest her.
Right.
And so the mother of the art student says something about, would you consider being my lawyer to the lawyer? You
know, yeah.
You don't have to, but you can do it. And so then 7 days just ends with, the lawyer looking stunned as the police come and take the mother away.
Right.
There's a good line at the end of Jazba, where as the police are taking her away, Ash says something to the effect of, be careful with her, she's my client. Implying that she's going to take the same role as the mother of the art student and get her revenge on her by springing her from jail.
I thought that was cool. I didn't see it that way.
I had to
That's that interesting.
That she had made this moral leap. And that now she was had gone to the dark side.
See, you know what? I didn't. That actually makes the ending a lot more enjoyable. The last thing I want to talk about is the forced mid-credit scene. Awkward as shit. It's basically a scene where Ashwarya comes back to visit Irfan Khan. They have this awkward moment of just, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Blah, 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 blah.
He's a cook now, by the way.
He's a cook now because he's fired. And it made no sense. But what I want to talk about in this scene is at the end of the scene. And again, this was you don't have to watch, this scene has nothing to do with the movie, but it's just like a forcing a romance subplot in where it didn't need to be. But at the end of the movie, this is what really pisses me off. At the end of the movie, Irfan Khan has a line which undermines this whole feminine motherhood independence rape thing that you were trying to do, which basically, Ashwarya leaves, some guy comes up and asks Irfan that, oh, why did you let her go? And he basically says that, I love her, that's why I let her go. Oh, sorry, my love is what let her go. If I was stubborn about it, she'd be in my arms. Which comes off as very aggressive.
Ugh.
And very creepy. And again, the word Zid is what he uses specifically. Now, again, our listeners can correct me on this. Zid translated into English can be a variety of words. It can be stubbornness, it could be persistence, it could be perseverance, it could be, you know, relentless. But any of those words in this context are horrible. That I let her go because I loved her. If I was stubborn about it, if I was persistent about it, she'd be in my arms right now. Yeah! Like, that just sounds so horrible.
It's like, great. That's really nice that she has no agency of her own.
And right.
Can, you know, it's implying that he's going to forcefully detain her. Oh, great.
That's basically what...
Kidnap a woman whose kid was just kidnapped.
Oh, sequel. Okay, so let's wrap this up. So, out of both the movies, Kathy, which would you say is the superior one, and who is guilty of being the inferior product?
7 Days is, I think, very watchable. It's a good movie. It's a good... if you're not into overly gory or intense movies, it's a pretty good Korean thriller, especially when compared to some other modern Korean thrillers. So 7 Days, I would marginally recommend. Jazzbah, I would say avoid.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you, Kathy, for being here. Thank you so much. Where can people get a hold of you?
You can find me at accessbollywood.com, and I'm on Twitter at Kathy F. Gibson.
Well, that was it for today. If you want more Split Screen podcasts, subscribe on your iTunes or Stitcher or your preferred podcasting app. Visit the website at www.blankpagebeatdown.com to listen to the show directly on your browser. Subscribe to the site itself with your email in the top corner for all my random rants and reviews of Bollywood, Hollywood, and TV shows. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at TheShahShahid. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. Email me your comments, suggestions, critiques, or hate mail. I'm talking to you, Aishwarya fans. At shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. And feel free to leave me a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Until next time, podcast adjourned.
So should I go?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, bye.
Well, there's an expression by some wise poet. Smell you later.
Yeah, smell you later.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So bye, I guess.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.